York, Massachusetts, and I met his wife and beautiful children that the Lord blessed him with. I'm so honored to be here. You know, I know Pastor Rich when he was a youth pastor in Holyoke, Massachusetts, when Pastor Eric Tharp was the pastor. And I met him there just for probably a week, and I left the country. And my name is Hani Deco, and I've been serving in Lebanon since 1998 as a full-time missionary, and the Lord bless us and been blessing us there. But before I go in details and just tell you about our ministry, I'd like to share my testimony, how the Lord touched my heart. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. None of us search for God. Amen? None of us search for God. God always searched for us. As you know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam disobeyed God, and the Almighty God says, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" Amen? God knew where Adam was, but God wanted Adam to really get attention and listen. And as a young boy, I grew up in Baghdad. I was born and raised in Baghdad, Iraq. And as a young boy, I used to dream to come to America. They used to tell me, you know, when I was in Baghdad, they said, you know, if you walk in the street of America, you see your face, you know, shining. You know, the streets are like mirror. You can see your face. And the Lord led me to come to America, and I landed in Detroit, Michigan. You know what I'm talking about, you know. So in 1980, I came to America for 45 days. They gave us visa. And it was getting close to the visa to be expired. And my mom asked me if I want to go back to Iraq again. And I said, no, I want to stay here. So I stayed. And as a young boy growing up in Iraq, you know, I used to go to church, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. Because my mom, she used to clean and cook for the Archbishop, a Chaldean, a Catholic church in Baghdad, Iraq. So when I came here, you know, I knew a lot of things about Jesus, that I knew that he died for me. He went to heaven and he's coming back and all these things that, you know, everybody who claimed to be a Christian know these things about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, I knew a lot of things about Christ, but Christ was not in me, okay? And I heard this all my life. When I came to the state, I really heard the gospel. I heard that you have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, that you can go to heaven. I used to say, you know what, I'm a good person, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, you know, I don't do wild things, you know, I'm just a good, you know, a good boy. From 1980 to 1985, I really heard the gospel, but I rejected to receive Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. March 23, 1985, I was driving, you know, I was living in Detroit, I was driving north on John R., if you know the area, in Detroit area. I was driving north between 6 and 7 mile road, there's a party store. So I said, you know what, let me stop by. It was 8 o'clock at night, Sunday night. I parked my car. I went inside the store, and I left the store. And when I was walking out of the store, I noticed there's a young guy walking behind me. I thought, he's a customer. He's going home. So I sat in my car. I saw this guy. There was 3 other guys standing by the telephone booth. So he went and talked to them. And I already started my car. I locked my door. I saw those 4 guys coming toward my car. Okay, they split, 2 on this side and 2 on the other side. Okay, so the guy and those 2 guys on my side, one of them pulled a gun and he put it toward me like this. And he asked me for money. He said, give me your money. I said, what do you want? He said, give me your money. And at this time, my car is already, you know, running. So he's talking to me. This happened probably this less than 15 to 20 seconds. So in this time, I thought, you know, boy, the car is running. Just shift the gear and drive away. And that's what I did. I put my hand on the gear, and he's talking to me. I shift the gear, and instead of putting the car on drive, guess what? I put it on neutral. And I hit the pedal. The car is not moving. He fired the bullet. The bullet hit the window, and it hit my chest right here. It went right here, and it stopped right here. When it hit me, I shift the gear to drive. I drove from here to the end of this building, and I stopped in the middle of the street. They follow me again. You know, the window is busted. He reached in and he put the gun on my head. He said, man, I'm going to blow your brain. Give me your money. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you ask me just before this happened, a 5 minute or 10 minutes before this, or an hour or a day, that March 23, 1985, at 8 o'clock at night, I'm going to be, you know, my life is is in the hand of the Almighty. I could not breathe. Literally, I could not breathe anymore. Like a balloon, and you put the air inside of it, and you take a needle and you popped it. I could not breathe anymore. None of us think of God except when we are in desperate situation. I'm not preaching yet. None of us think of God until we are in desperate situation, when we are in our bedside, we're going to die, we have some kind of disease that has no cure. We go and say, Lord, have mercy, heal me, help me, I need your help. That's me. I never thought of dying. And when this happened, I could not breathe. Where should I go? I'm in Detroit, Sunday night, cold. And I started asking God, I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want to die. Just give me another chance. Brothers and sisters, I did not hear a voice from heaven says, honey, you're not going to die. But I believe that the Almighty God gave me another chance to live. They took me to Detroit receiving hospital. They cut my chest. They took the bullet out. I was recovering at home, in the hospital and at home. I graduated from high school. I went back to the world again that I used to do the same things before. I went back to the world. And one day, one of my friends, he said, Brother Hani, why don't you come to the church? There's a preacher, just came from Egypt, in one of the Arabic churches in Detroit. Why don't you come and listen to him? You know, this guy has been bugging me. I said, you know what, I'm going to go to the church. So I went to the church. I said, the last pew of that church, because I don't want nobody to see me. I told him, Brother, if I go with you, I don't want nobody to know that I went with you to the church. Because if my parents hear, they're in Iraq, that I went to a Baptist church, they're really going to abandon me. And when they heard, I got saved, they said, my mom and dad says, you are not in our family tree. So I went to the church, and the man of God was preaching from Psalm 27. And he finished, and he gave an invitation to everybody in the church. He said, listen, if you're not sure today, tonight, if you'll die, where are you going to go? Why don't you come forth to the altar and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Some people were coming forth. And I was standing there, I felt like somebody is holding me to the pew, and there's a voice inside of me just telling me, son, just take the first step. Thank God I listened to that voice. I took this for first, second, third, I came to the altar, I bowed, I said, Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart and save me. I want to be your child. I believe that night the Lord saved me. Not just He saved me and He called me. And He called me, and I believe that night I became a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I became a missionary. You don't have to go to Lebanon. I'm going to tell you some things about it. To be a missionary, you can be a missionary in Jackson, Michigan. Amen? In Holyoke, Massachusetts. In Detroit, Michigan. And I said, Lord, I want to surrender all my life unto You. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I grew up in church. I knew a lot of things about Jesus. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, I was not in. Amen? I was not in Christ. That night, I became in Christ. Christ lived in me, and I'm in Him. Amen? And when the Lord called me and saved me, I said, Lord, I want to serve You all my life. The Lord opened the door in 1987 to go to Midwestern Bible College. It took me 5 years to graduate. When I graduated in 1992, I thought after graduation I'm going to be pastor in the church, or I'm going to be a missionary. But the Lord was working in my heart and in my life. He trained me in my home church, Arabic Church in Detroit. So I stayed there for an extra 6 years, between 5 and 6 years in my home church. In 1997, I went to Lebanon for 6 months short term mission to see if this is the Lord want me to, this is the place that God want me to go. So I served in Lebanon for 6 months. I came back, and after that, when I came to the state, I told my pastor, my sweet family, my church family, that the Lord really want me to go to Lebanon, and I went to Lebanon to serve among the Africans. People who come from Africa. We had over 100 to 120 Africans who come to work in Lebanon, and our services were in English. The Lord used me to baptize many. Many people got saved, And because of the pressure in the country of Lebanon, the last few years, most Africans love the country of Lebanon. And I'm serving in Lebanon. My wife, I met her in 1999. She's Lebanese. And now our ministry is focused on the Lebanese and the Iraqis and Syrian refugees. As you know, the last couple of years, there's war in Syria. And the Lord is blessing us just to see many, many people coming to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Our ministry is not just focused on adults, but we have a great ministry with children. We have between 20 and 25 children from different denominations, different religion, who I bring them every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 to learn the story of the great gospel of Jesus Christ, to listen to our stories that they never heard before, the story of Jesus Christ. And we see many of them through the ministry of our children, children ministry. The Lord is helping us to reach their families to come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. I want to tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. As you know, the Middle East is a boiling pot, okay? Been in war and turmoil for thousands of years. And just before we came, there was rockets and bullets flying over our head. But this does not frighten me. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. When you know you are in the center of God's will, okay? When you know you're in the center of God's will, these things doesn't frighten you and me. Because when we are in the hand of the Almighty God, God will take care of us, will protect us, will help us. We came to the state the 30th of June. We'll be leaving less than a month. We're leaving September the 3rd. We lost over 30% of our support. Most of our support come from the state of Michigan. As you know, Michigan went through a lot of difficult time, economic problems. So most churches, some churches dropped us. Some churches, you know, just take some of our, you know, just less our support. So we pray that the Lord will bless us with new churches that can support us and help us to continue our ministry in the country of Lebanon. Pray for us. There's prayer cards there that you can grab one and just remember the DACO and the country of Lebanon. As you know, you don't see many missionaries going to that part of the world because it's a very dangerous area. And I thank God for all the missionaries around the world. But this is where the Lord called me, and I'm so excited to go back the 3rd of September to continue our ministry in the country of Lebanon. God bless you. May the Lord enlarge your coast. And I pray next time when I come, Lord, in my furlough, I see all these empty seats will be filled with people who come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. If you have your Bible, as you have a few minutes, I want to share with you something. You know, I preached this sermon at Holyoke, Massachusetts. And Pastor says, you know, Pastor Courier said, why don't you preach this sermon? You know, this morning, I put it in the microwave. You know, I try to warm up this message. And I just want to share what's in my heart, what the Word of God wants us to hear. Amen? I want you open to the psalm that we just read, Psalm 127. I'm just going to read one verse. Psalm 127 and verse 4. Psalm 127 verse 4. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. I want to speak to you this morning by the grace of God. The title of my message, Arrows in the Hand of a Mighty God. Amen. Arrows in the hand of a mighty God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your love, for your mercy, for your compassion. Thank you for saving a soul, saving a man like me. Thank you for calling me to the ministry. I pray that you will hide me behind the cross and speak to our hearts. We need you, Lord Jesus. Bless the pastor of this church, and he, as he's in vacation, and bless the youth pastor, and help us to focus upon you, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Arrows in the hand of the mighty God. I believe from the bottom of my heart, brothers and sisters, that God is able and God is willing to use anybody who will say, here am I, Lord, use me. Amen? If you are in your teens, if you are in your 20s, if you are in your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, well, Brother Hani, 80s and 90s and even 100s, God can use you. When I was in Massachusetts and I was telling the people, you know, if you are in your 100, and the pastor came and said, you know, brother, we have a lady, she's in her 100s. If you are in your teens through 100 years, I believe God can use you. Amen? God is willing and God wants to use anybody who can say, Lord, here am I, use me. Brothers and sisters, I don't like go deer hunting. I know in the state of Michigan, you know, a lot of people, probably the month of December, right? They go deer hunting. I went once with my friend. He said, Brother Hani, want to go deer hunting in the Thumb or, I don't know, somewhere in Upper Peninsula or something like that. And I thought probably he's going to call me at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning. We're going to go deer hunting. And he called me at 2:30 at night. He said, Brother Hani, are you ready? I said, ready for what? He said, we're going to go deer hunting. And, you know, I washed my face and I went with him. And when I went to, I don't know, some kind of forest there, I was listening to the noises. I thought somebody's going to hunt me, then we're going to go hunting deers. Amen? I was afraid. But the guy that he took me there, I tell you, brothers and sisters, he was ready for hunting. He had his nuclear bombs and all kind of, you know, weapons with him. You know, I said, man, you're a murderer, brother. He was ready to go hunting. And I tell you, he went there and he picked a place that is, you know, he has a great view for the flocks of deers to pass by. He was ready. And my question to you, God is able and God is willing to use anybody to be arrows in the hand of the Almighty. Amen? God wants to use you, ma'am, sir, ma'am, everybody. Young and old, God wants to use us to be arrows in the hand of the Almighty. You know, Pastor was telling me, I think once he preached a message in this passage of scripture. You know, you grab a piece of a branch, okay, a wood. Okay, what do you do with that wood if you want to make a good and a straight arrow? You take all the rough things from it and you make it, you know, straight. And that guy, when he went, I went with him deer hunting, you know, he probably bought a good weapon, or he bought a good a bow and arrow, because he didn't want a crook arrow and shoot it and he's not going to hit the target. That's what God wants from us. He will choose someone that really obey Him and love Him, and He say, here am I, Lord, use me. As you know, China is one of the biggest country in population, and there is a lot of small villages in China. There is a small village in one of these great country of China. They have a tradition when a boy is born to a family, a Chinese family, the father and the family of this young boy that is born, the father will display a ball and an arrow in the gate of that city, telling the enemy, you know, hey guys, enemy, watch, this little boy that is born to our family and to our village, one day he'll be youth and he's going to be a man, and this man will protect our village from your attack. And my question to you this morning, if you are a child of God, God desires that all His children to be arrows in the hand of the Almighty. Amen? That's my introduction. I hope you write these notes. This message, always when I preach it, is not just for you, it's for me. It's a challenge. God wants you and want Hani Deco, a missionary to the country of Lebanon, to be arrow in the hand of the Almighty. How can you and me be arrows in the hand of the Almighty? Youth and man and woman, how can we be arrows in the hand of the Almighty? First of all, remember this, brothers and sisters. We need to have unity of heart and of gold and of purpose. We need to have unity of heart and of gold and of purpose. God will not use you to be arrow in His hand and you don't have unity of heart. God will not use you to be arrow in His hand and you have, your heart is divided. You want to please God on Sunday and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and live the rest of the week for the world. God will not use you if you don't have one purpose and one goal in your life. As you know, when the Almighty God used ordinary people like you and me, and He told a great prophet, Elijah, I want you to go to the mountain, Mount Carmel, and I'm going to tell you what to do there. So he went to the mountain and he saw the people of God, saved by the blood of the Lamb, the people who knew the Almighty God who led them out of Egypt, opened the Red Sea, protected them day and night, fed them manna from heaven. They were in the mountain of Mount Carmel, and there was on this side a wicked king with his wicked wife and their prophets, and they were, here's the nation of people, the people of God, and here is a wicked king with his wife and their prophets, and first king. And Elijah gave the challenge. He said, listen, if Baal is God, worship him. If God is God, worship him. You know why he said this? The Bible says, because the people of God were jumping between two sides. They want to please God, who they knew him, and they want to please Baal and the king and his wicked wife. And he told him, for how long you'll be hopping between two sides? If God is God, worship him. And if Baal is God, worship him. You know what is the saddest story? Is the Bible says that the people of God did not speak a word. You know why? Because their heart was divided. Their heart was divided. They want to please a king and his wicked wife and their prophet, and they want to please God. You cannot please God and please the world. It's impossible. God will use you and use me if we have divided heart. I want to give you just two examples from the Bible that God used people like you and me, but they have unity of heart and of purpose and of gold. And God used them to be arrows in the hand of the Almighty God. Gideon, God chose him to be a judge over the nation of Israel. Okay? And as you know, since the beginning of time, there is a war in the Middle East between the people of God and the enemy of God. And the Midianites were the enemy of the nation of Israel. And Gideon, after the call of God, and God told him, go and fight the Midianites, Gideon went and he gathered 32,000 people of God. People who know the living God. Saved. Born again. In our today's language. 32,000 came. Men, warriors, they want to go and defeat the enemy. And God looked and he said, you know what? There is too many of them. But before God said this, these 32,000, 22,000 of them, men, ready to go to war, they looked at the enemy, and the Bible says, 22,000, they were afraid of the enemy. Do you remember the spy, the 12th spy who went to spy the land? Jericho. 10, they came back and their heart was, they were so afraid. And they told Moses, Moses, it's impossible we can conquer. It's impossible we can go to that city because they are giants. But to Joshua and Caleb, they said, sir, hey, don't worry. If God is with us, hey, nobody can be against us. We can destroy the enemy. And God looked, 22,000, they were afraid of the enemy. And Gideon says, you know what? Who want to go home? Who want to go home to their wives and children? 22,000, raise your hand. Sir, we want to go home. You know, they went home because they were afraid. And God says, you know, go home. You're not worthy to be arrows in my hand. Send them home. They went home, but they lost. And God looked, He said, well, you know what? There's 10,000. As you know, your math, 22 went home, 10,000. God looked, He said, you know what? There's too many of them now. Take them to the water. You know, they were thirsty. Gideon, guys, let's go drink some water. Took him to the water. And you know what happened there? 9,700 men, they expect, God expect of them to be arrows in His hand. 9,700, they were leaping and drinking water like what? Do you remember? Like dogs. Amen? 9,700 warriors, people who need to wash the enemy, they were leaping and drinking water like dogs. They were so occupied with their thirst, they were not watching the enemy. Brothers and sisters, can I bring it to today, August 11, 2013, right? There are so many of us here. We are so occupied with our present situation. We are forgetting what is my purpose and my goal in my life. You are thinking about, I'm going to have a job tomorrow. I'm going to receive my social security check in a couple of days. Man, look at the situation in the United States of America. I'm proud to be an American, amen. But when I went to Massachusetts, the pastor took me to visit some of these places. I said, Lord have mercy. What's going on in America? 6 states in the state of Massachusetts, they are passing a law. A man can marry a man, and a woman can marry a woman. We are so occupied with these things, we are forgetting our purpose. These 9,700, they were thirsty. They were occupied with their thirst. They were drinking water like dogs. I hope, I pray, none of us here will be one of these 9,700. I hope you are not. Gideon, and God says to Gideon, you know what? Those 9,700, they're not worthy. Send them home. Now, how many left? How many left? 300. I'm telling you, the enemy is so great. As you know, the enemies of God, they had all kind of weapons. And the people of God, they were just beginners. They didn't have heavy weapons. But I tell you, with 300 men, God used them to be arrows in His hand. They defeated the enemy of God. Amen. I hope you are, and I am, one of these 300. Amen. You choose. You say, Lord, I want to be, when you have unity of heart and of purpose and of goal. Man, I have 10 more minutes or 15. I have still my first point. Hallelujah. I won't keep you long. But another person that I really love, and I read about him, and I study his life, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a great man. They took him to captivity, far away from his home, from his land, from his loved one, from his family. He went and he was a cupbearer to a great king. You know, I'm so grateful. You know, even a heathen kings and heathen people, when the people of God live for the Lord Jesus Christ, they put them in a good places. Amen? I hope you have a testimony. And this heathen king chose a man to be his advisor. A man that talked to and a cupbearer to a great king. But Nehemiah, when he heard about the city of God, the gate of the city, and the wall of the city, Jerusalem is burned. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1, he said and he fasted and he prayed and he cried. When he came in the presence of the king, he said, King, what's wrong with you? Why are your faces like that? And he told him the story that the city of God, the city of his fathers is being burned. He said, listen, brother, hey, don't worry. I'm going to give you some letters. You can go. But the story is this, brothers and sisters. When Nehemiah came to Jerusalem, the people in Jerusalem, they did not put in front of him a red carpet and shout, oh, Nehemiah, welcome back. No. There were people making fun of him and mocking him. He said, you're going to rebuild the wall on the city of God? But you know what? He was a good leader. He was a great man. He rebuilt the wall and the gate of the city. And these people were making fun of him. They said, you know what? If a small fox climb over this wall, they're going to fall. He did not listen to them. And he continued. You know why? Because he had unity of heart, enough purpose, enough goal. His purpose of going back to Jerusalem is to rebuild the gate and the wall and the people of God. He wanted to unite the nation. My second point, brothers and sisters, if you and I want to be arrows in the hand of the Almighty, are you listening to me? First, you have to have unity of heart and of purpose of God. Second, brothers and sisters, you and I need to remove all obstacles from our life. Hey, this guy that he took me to somewhere up north, man, he chose a very clear place, open place, because I don't want any obstacles in front of him. He did not pick a place that is, you know, tree here, and he put, you know, his chair in one of these trees. He wants something that is clear. You and I, God desire, and God want you and me, if we want to be arrows in his hand, we need to remove all obstacles from our life. What's hindering you? Probably doesn't hinder me. But what's hindering me probably doesn't hinder you. Amen? There is sin in our life. We come to our churches. We come to our church today, probably this morning. You know, we put a halo over our head. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The usher is greeting you. There is a lady. She's giving you, you know, today's program. You know, we act like, you know, we are saints. But we leave the door and we live the rest of the week in sin. And there is a sin in our hearts. If there is a sin in our heart, the Almighty God will not listen to us. I don't know what's hindering you from being arrow in the hand of the Almighty. But I'm going to give you just one example from the Word of God that really proved my point. Do you remember when the people of God wanted to conquer Jericho? The Almighty God says what? You know, it's not by sword. It's not by your own power. I want you to do this. Just go around the city. 7 times. Okay, they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. At the 7 times, what happened to the wall of Jericho? The Bible says the wall of Jericho came down. And there was a small city. When they entered the city of Jericho, they were excited. Hallelujah! The Lord gave us victory. And there was another city just close to Jericho. They wanted to go unconquered. And as Joshua, a great leader, a warrior, he said, you know what, man, we don't have to have many men to go unconquered Jackson, Michigan. Because it's a small city with few men, we can go and defeat the enemy. Right? Not too many, just few. And as you know, the story is mentioned in the book of Joshua. Those men got ready and they wanted to attack this small city by the name of Jackson, Michigan. They were defeated by the people in that city. And Joshua was just astonished. And he said, why, Lord? Why we are defeated by this small city? And the Almighty God told them, you know why you are defeated? Because there is a sin in the camp. Amen? There is someone in the camp, in your church. He's a thief. That's why you are being defeated by this small town. Brothers and sisters, I'm here today, this morning. I'll be leaving after lunch. Thank you so much for the lunch. I'm not going to see you. But if there's a sin in the camp, I hope we'll come and confess it in front of the Almighty God. Because little foxes, not a big foxes, little foxes do what? Destroy. Little foxes. Today's sin, we don't call it sin anymore. Call it, you know, it's a lifestyle. there is a white sin, and there is a black sin, you know, there is a small sin, and there is a big sin. No, sin separates us from God. Sin destroys the vineyard. Sin destroys churches. Amen? With our music, with our attitude, with our dresses that we wear, with our hairs, all that will destroy our churches. I'm going to give you one more point and I'll stop. How can you and I be arrows in the hand of the Almighty? Brothers and sisters, we need to put ourselves under the control of the Almighty God. You know, when that man hold a ball and an arrow, that arrow is in the hand of this great guy. Has no power. That arrow has no power without the hand of that person who is holding it. And my life and your life has no power except to be in the hand of the Almighty God. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You are looking at the person, I have so many disabilities. But God is not interested with our abilities. But I believe with all my heart, God is interested. Are you available for Him? Amen? God is not interested. How many degrees is under Hanny Dacko? Hey, PhD, whatever you call them. God is not interested in that. God is not interested how great, you know, speaker I am. Hallelujah. But God is interested. Are you ready? Are you available for Him? When God called me to go to Lebanon, even people from my home church, that they are from Lebanon or from the other, Arabic country, they said, Brother Hani, going to Lebanon? Man, problems. It was true. There was problems in Lebanon. There's still a civil war there. What are you going to do in Lebanon? You know, it became like Moses. When God called Moses, he said, Moses? He said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to go and let my people go. Set them from bondage. He said, Lord, you know, I stutter. I don't speak well. My brother is better than me. He's a good speaker. You know, you can use him. How can I go and he stuttered. He was excusing. You know, he said, Lord, you know, I have this and I have that. That was me. But let me tell you something. When you put your hand, your life, under the control of the Holy Spirit, the Almighty God will do amazing things. You know, my life verse is in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. He says, call unto me. And I will answer thee. And I will show thee a great, what? I'll show you, and show me a great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I said, Lord, can you do that in my, yes, He will. He will in your life. Don't say, Lord, I will not go. I will not go door to door and witness. I was so happy when I went to Massachusetts in Holyoke. May God bless you, brother. You have a sweet, young people going door to door in these places that nobody would go. Are you that person? You say, Lord, I want to be used by you. When you empty yourself, God will fill you with His Spirit. When you empty of yourself, God will use you in a mighty way. But there are so many things that's filling our life instead of God filling our life. Brothers and sisters, D.L. Moody, you know, I went to his birthplace. It's a privilege that Pastor Korea took me. I'm telling you, you know what D.L. Moody says? Because he surrendered all his life. Before he surrendered all his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, a preacher was saying this. He said, the world, Moody is sitting down, and this man is preaching. And Moody listened to this challenge. And this challenge was like this. The world will testify what God would do with a person who surrendered all and all unto Him. The world will testify what God would do with a person who surrender all and all unto Him. And the writer says, these words burn on the life of D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody says, Lord, I want to be that man. D.L. Moody says, Lord, I want to be that man. And you know, Moody won many people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you that man? Listen, I go to a potter place every now and then in Lebanon. You know, I go and I see him in a small place. Take a clay and
that way, you know, God is working our mind. If you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, I'm so glad for that song. Amen. That was special. That was beautiful. God is molding you and shaping you. Young people in your 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, God is molding you and shaping you. Don't say, Lord, stop. Let him continue working in your life. Let him shape you the way he wants. Because all of us can be used by the Almighty God if we really surrender our life completely to Him. You know what we give God? We give just a small place in our life. You know, just on Sunday, God will not use you to give everyone. God doesn't want you to give Him 99.9. God wants 100% of your life. I know I'm speaking to what people probably have been saying for many years. I'm just reminding you, if you lost that zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not that arrow in the hand of the Almighty, I don't know this morning, say, Lord, I want to be that. The last thing I'm going to say, brothers and sisters, first, I said, you have to have unity of God on purpose. Remove all obstacles. Surrender all in that own mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand here. And the fourth thing, brothers and sisters, we need to know what is our message. You know, there is a social gospel today. Okay? You know, hallelujah, come on down, let's have fun. Well, it's exciting to come to church. But I'm not going to change the message of the gospel. You know, just, you know, make it easier. I don't speak about sin. I don't speak about the blood. There's some churches, they take the word blood from our hymn books, and they don't speak about the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God, without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sin. Thank God that because of His shedding blood, okay, and His death on the cross, He washed all my sin away. Amen? I'm not going to change my message. But today, churches and pastors and deacons, and the people of God, they are just making it a little bit easier. No. Well, we love people. Jesus died for the whole world. But His message that is the same yesterday and today and forever, because He is never changed. Spurgeon, do you know what he said? And I'm going to stop here. Spurgeon, they call him the Prince of preachers. He said, why the Church of God today, in this present moment, has little influence over the world, because the world have so much influence over the church. Can I say that again? Why the church in Jackson, Michigan, and in Michigan, and in the United States, and in the world today, has little influence over the world? Because the world have so much influence in the church. You understand what I'm saying? You know, man, I love people. Jesus Christ loved people. We are in the world, but we're not from this world. But what's happening today? What's going on today? The world is entering our churches, and the churches is not going to the world. God says, I want you to go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature, whatever color and race and nationality and tribe. But today's churches are changing the message. What is your message? Brothers and sisters, if I want to sell you this microphone, right? If I knock at your door, you open the door, sir, and you say, can I help you, sir? I said, yes, sir, I have that. I want to sell you this. Oh, man, how much is it? I respond, I don't know. Who made this? You can respond, sir, I don't know who made it. Where did it come from? I'm not sure. You think you'll buy this, sir? Man, because I'm a bad salesman. I did not present, I don't know what I'm selling. And today's Christianity is like that. So many people of God, they don't know what is their message. Somebody ask them about Jesus Christ, they don't know what to answer. They don't know the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or they, you know, just wishy-washy. This is what's happening to our churches today. We need to have a message. And that message doesn't change in Lebanon, in Jackson, Michigan, in the prison of Jackson here in Michigan, and everywhere in the world is the same. because our God is the same yesterday and today and forever. May the Lord bless us all to be arrows in the hand of the Almighty. May God change us and mold us to surrender all and all unto Him. God desires to see all His children to be really arrows in the hand of the Almighty. Shall we pray?